Hello, welcome to the photo show. Yes, it's me, Ewan. I'm here, professional photographer here in Birmingham. We're going to go through the week's photography news, the last couple of weeks actually. Sorry we missed out on shows last week. I missed out on all the shows, unfortunately, because of work and just having loads and loads of stuff to do. So let's get on with it. So the news, well, let's always start with the Fantasy Photo League. That's well worth doing because we've had a great month. We've had some fantastic entries for February. We've grown in numbers. We've nearly doubled actually in size with numbers of people that have come on to join us in the Fantasy Photo League. It's been absolutely great. The standards have really, really improved. It was a really tough topic last month, but I think a lot of people will get tons from that because it'll help them with deciding what to shoot for the topics going forwards. March's topic is construct, whatever you want to phrase it, it's up to you. C-O-N-S-T-R-U-C-T. It is your job to shoot an image that you think fulfills that brief. It's deliberately wide open so you can get as creative as you like and send it through. BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com if you want to join in. It's better off if you're in the Slack room, so send us an invitation request to that address for the Slack room and we'll get you in on there as well as. Lots of people have scored lots of points this month, so well done to those people. Right, first things first then, are you into your film photography? I wasn't. I hated it. I've got to be the first one to admit that I was a bit crap in a dark room. I couldn't stand it. I didn't like the chemicals. I wasn't very good at it. And my dark room skills are non-existent. So I don't miss it in the slightest. But if you do, then good for you. Because these people, Labbox, have come up with a process and equipment which you can use yourself. And you're thinking, well, okay, but I've got a little dark, I would love a dark room at home, but I haven't got enough room. Well, the idea of this is that you don't need a dark room as such. All you've got to do is buy their little kit. It's a Kickstarter project, and you will get the basic set, which is a 35mm bath, so that you can process your 35mm film. And then you can buy the medium format, which gives you the ability to do 120. So you're absolutely laughing here. Colour or black and white, it's entirely up to you. You can do it and that's it. You're off and running. It's a simple process. There's Vimeo videos on how to go about using it. You've got to buy the chemicals that you want. So any chemicals you've got lying around from when you used to have a dark room or that kind of stuff, providing they still work, will be there. If you've got some old Kodachrome chemicals left over and you've got some film, best of luck. You get everything that you need, absolutely everything that you need to process all your old films at home. Wonderful. There's the stuff working. Actually, the guy that shot the picture of this is a little bit of a saddo because there is absolutely tons and tons of pictures of the bath unit and the spooling units. He obviously really liked it, shall we say. They said the wonderful thing about it is you can develop your films wherever you want. And they've got a bit of the video, and I'm serious here. There's a woman who pulls this out of her handbag, sticks it on the table, and takes the film out of the camera and processes the film right there in the restaurant on the table. Because that's the kind of thing you would do, isn't it? You need a Polaroid when you're that instant. As I say, you can do colour or black and white. If you're an analogue nerd and you love all of that stuff, then this is your wet dream. Do it wherever you like, back at home. Do it in the privacy of your own home, obviously, and not in sight of children. But there you go. It's wonderful. If you're into it, I guess you're into it, and that's the end of it. So this is Vicky. Vicky has a wonderful looking bottom, a fantastic pair of breasts, but her brain doesn't appear to be equal to them. No. She is a Russian model who decided one day it would be absolutely fantastic if she hung at the top of a building, the Canyon Tower in Dubai. And it's a long, long, long way up. She did it as a publicity stunt. She's an attention-seeking lady. She gave no thought to anyone that was going to be injured if she fell. There's boats and stuff below there. She's thinking, well, there's water below. I'll be fine. No mate's going to be like hitting concrete from that distance. And she relied on a mate of hers just holding her up. There you go. No thought for anyone except herself and her own personal exposure. You're what's wrong with the world, mate. You really are. Russians doing this kind of thing at height seems to be a bit of a thing. I don't know why they feel that there's a fascination with it. Something in the Russian psyche, maybe. I don't know. There's kids falling off buildings all over the place trying to emulate this kind of stuff. The last thing the internet needed was that. I thought about not putting it on at all, but then I did think to myself, I'm sorry, but you need to be... If my son or daughter came back and said that they'd done something like this, they would be chained in the house. I cannot tell you how much that pisses me off. Nikon has suffered what they've quoted as extraordinary losses. Now, you want to quantify extraordinary losses? They're saying extraordinary losses come to $263 million. And you know, blimey, well, Canon, Nikon are pretty big, so you know they can cope with that, surely. Apparently, that's not the sum of it. The lithography business and semiconductor businesses, which have had an equally bad time of it, have also lost. Now, given that if you add it all together, the total losses come to $465 million. They're not in a good shape. What are they going to do about it? Well, the company has said there's going to be company-wide restructuring. That's the quote. If you work for Nikon, I'm awfully sorry. I think you're in for a tough old time of it coming up in the next few weeks. They've gone so far into the red that they are cancelling a brand new line of cameras. So the thing that they would probably expect to get them out of a financial hole, they don't even have enough money to keep that going. So... that would be sad if Nikon went under. It really would, because you know, as a Canon shooter, I never miss the opportunity to kick Nikon, and as Nikon never miss the opportunity to kick Canon shooters. But that's what we need. We need that. It's like taking the mickey out of the Scottish at rugby and them taking the mickey out of us. You got to do it. You can't not do it. Otherwise, life is just not worth living. So I would donate money to Nikon just so that they survive. I'm going to buy a Nikon camera this afternoon just to try and help keep them afloat. Okay, steady on. I lied there. I lied. Adox. Now, the thing is, I've started to think we need to do an analog section, but I'm not really qualified for it. But Adox are a firm in Switzerland. They're in Marly in Switzerland, and they've just bought a whole pile of land, and it's not cheap to buy land in Switzerland. I know that for a fact, because we had a couple of friends who lived out there. But they've got this new space, and they've extended their plant, and they're going to put in a brand new emulsifier machine. They make film, chemicals, and papers for the analog lithography and... Lumo business, and they're on the expanse. It's coming back. It's coming back. If you're not shooting film, you're clearly a dinosaur, just like me. Microsoft have decided to solve the drone flying around the neighborhood problem by creating a drone simulator. You can get this thing by going over to Microsoft and searching for it, but it is basically a drone simulator that lets you pick up and fly the thing. Now, I don't know whether it's keyboard controls only or whether it's one of those shebang things where you can get the USB cable that actually links your full drone remote, the normal remote control device into it or not. I can't get a word on price. I can't find anywhere to download it. I don't know if it's available in Mac or just Windows. I'm guessing it's going to be just Windows. But you can fly this thing around your neighborhood and lovely. There you go. If you want to get it, go get it. Time for the gear. Sigma have released a whole pile of lenses. There's a whole raft of stuff that's come out. You've got the 14mm f1.8 art lens, the 135mm f1.8 art lens, the 24-70 f2.8 art lens, and also there's a 100-400 that they've called their light bazooka. That's the big tall one that sat up in the end there. So first things first, the 14mm features the largest glass mould that there is, 80mm in the industry, contributing to less flare, ghosting and distortion. The 135, and I think I've shown the wrong one there, that's the 24-70. I knew this was going to... Oh, come on. I've got them out of order. There we go. The ones I can edit, don't worry. The 135 has a new focus motor, which gives, apparently according to their press release, increased torque and overall performance with addition of focus limiter, which sounds rather interesting. I've got to go back now, I can edit again. 24-70 features a metal barrel for durability and an internal material for less variation in thermal expansion and contraction. Secret material, clearly. A new OS as well, and a thicker centre glass that provides an amazing bokeh, unquote. Johnny Good. This is the big beast. This is the 7400, the 100 to 400. It does look rather good, actually. The reviews that I've read of it say that it's quite good. That picture doesn't show so much. Well done, chaps. Have a black camera and a black lens and shoot it against a black background just for effect. It's not art. I want to see what I'm buying. Thank you very much. Hang something else in the Tate. But it does look like a fantastic lens. Sigma have got a great reputation now. They're making really, really good stuff. Prices, there's no prices. That's the bit that worries me. Lenses are going up in general. Lenses in the UK have gone stupid because of Brexit and all the currency exchange rates. And then you've got the Fukushima type, not the Fukushima because that was the nuclear thing, but the earthquake stuff going on out in the Far East. So it's going to be a lot cheaper than the Canon L series for sure, but if you look on Wex at the moment, there's quite a few of these lenses are actually creeping their way up to be nearly Canon prices, so keep an eye out because it might be the best thing that you've ever had. Snapchat specs are now available. I thought this was a serious camera show, Ian. No, maybe not. It was announced last September. It's now available through vending machines, as you know, but you can now buy them online. It's $130 a pair. You can only order a maximum of 6 pairs per household. I think that's going to satisfy the need. Don't worry. They're camera sunglasses. They're integrated camera, video camera with one of the smallest wireless video cameras that are out in the world. A single charge should give you a day worth of shooting snaps, which is absolutely brilliant. It looks like there's a little ring flash next to it as well on the other side, which would be pretty cool. It does connect directly to Snapchat using a Bluetooth link or Wi-Fi link and using your phone as well as. It shoots a circular video format. Yeah, I'm going to have a look at that because I'm not entirely sure. The devices will play on, the videos will play on any device, but the orientation is limited to those with a 115 degree field of view. Lovely. Yongnu are a company that you should know about if you don't. They make some great cheap lenses. I've got the 35mm lens of theirs, and it's very, very good. It's extremely good. They've come out with a clone of the 85mm Canon lens. It's f1.8. It looks good. I mean, the Canon lens isn't particularly expensive. It only runs in at just over £100. The 50mm runs in at just over £100. This one is a lot more. It's up at the £250 mark. This thing is going to come in at $177 or around that amount, and it's going to be $200 cheaper than the current Canon equivalent lens. That'd be a nice little portrait lens to have if you want it in a little tiny small studio or something like that. It'd be great for taking out on days out, for shooting stuff like wildlife or, you know, a reasonable distance, or shooting the family in a setting where you'd want some of the far distance in. It's great. It's good. The 35mm f2 is also good, and there is a 50mm 1.8 that I got confused with. So go out and get it. It looks excellent, and the ones that I've got, like I say, I've got the 35mm, and it works really, really well. Sony have released the world's fastest SD card. Why? Well, this is the FFG series card from Sony. It reads at speeds of up to 300 megabits per second and writes at 299 megabits per second. Sony is saying that it's not just the physical properties of the ability to write quickly. It's saying that if you shoot long bursts of high-resolution images or you're recording video, they've got a new algorithm that's built into it that prevents loss of the speed in writing the data, and also it stops you then getting that lag after you've done repeated burst mode shoots. I read that and I thought to myself, well, that's a great idea, but then there's a little bit sat and thought, but surely actually one of the things that limits your burst mode is the processor in your camera. If the processor in the camera's not up to, it doesn't matter how much you chuck at the SD card. Yes, okay, predominantly at the moment at 90 megabits a second, the SD card is what's crapping out probably at about the same time as your processor, maybe a little bit before. Depending on the camera that you've got, if you've got a camera that really shoots massive burst modes, this would then probably be a real bonus, no question. But I'm not sure. Jury's out. There's three different versions of it, 32 meg, 64 gig and 64 gig and 128 gig. No pricing yet, and it'll be available in April. The card's available in March and a reader for it's available in April. So you're going to have issues with getting this off, as well as you might need to buy a specialised reader. So, that'd be interesting. I won't use it because I don't shoot anything that needs that kind of level. Sony. Do you remember last month we talked about the Sony lens that did an incredible 960 frames a second? They've actually stuck that, as they threatened, into a camera on a phone. At Mobile World Congress last week, they announced that they were sticking it in. It is a 5.5-inch 4K display camera, phone rather. It's got a 19-megapixel rear camera at f2, and it's got 2100 at 30 frames a second and 9600 at 720. Sorry, I'll do that again. It's got 21600p at 30 frames a second, and it's got 720p if you want to shoot the 960 frames a second. And that's what bothered me actually a little bit, because I want to see what the 1080 setting is, because the 1080 setting, if that's at sort of the 180 mark or even at 250 or something like that at frames per second, then that would be really, really cool. It's got a 13 megapixel front camera as well, which seems a bit of overkill. It'll be out in late spring and there's no prices available as yet. Yeah, jury's out. Will I be going away from the iPhone 4 and Android with the running that? No, I might. If it's a really cracking camera, I might. But at the moment, I'm not convinced. The 720p thing pissed me off because that didn't give that impression last week when I read the story. Never mind. Time for your questions. Sorry if you feel like we're rattling through it a little bit this week, but we've had problems starting the computer up, and I've got to get this done because I didn't need to start late until the Mac show's coming up. But we've got the highlights. We'll do another one next week, don't worry. First question then comes from Callum, and it's not even for me. Hi Ewan and Ian, sorry to miss you out Ewan, but this one is about landscapes. The question on the last week's show, there was an answer from Ian. I love doing landscapes, but wouldn't dream of suggesting I know what to do. I've got a lot of information from the answer on last week's show, but I was wondering, what would you advise with regard to skies? A, shooting landscapes with a range of ND filters, neutral density. B, shooting with a single neutral density and then correcting in Photoshop. Or C, relying on a bracketing process and correcting in Photoshop afterwards with a more HDR-like process. I'm not a rich man, so B and C are by far more appealing, but willing to spend on equipment if there are moves forward to be made. Regards, Callum. Ian's done the pry because Callum doesn't want me. Good news is you don't need to spend much money on the equipment if you don't want to. Filters are great if you want to come out of the camera approach and minimal post-editing, but they have their drawbacks. Combing filters, unless very high quality filters, can result in color casting. For example, you may want a neutral density to smooth out water and graduated filter to maintain the sky. If you have a subject, building, tree, etc., which protrudes above the horizon into the skyline, a neutral density graduated filter will clip this area and affect the exposure. If I were to use a single filter, it would be a neutral density graduated filter to correct exposure for the sky. I'd always expose for my foreground to be exposed correctly, and then pull down a neutral density graduated filter to reduce and hold back the bright skies to balance the exposure. With this approach, you'll need a variety of filters at different strengths or stops, as the intensity of light will always vary through golden hour, sunset, twilight, dawn, midday, cloudy, etc. If done correctly, very little editing actually is required, and the best approach is to expose for the sky and the foreground to work out the difference in exposure between the two so that you select the correct filter. My preferred method however, is bracketing. And there are a couple of ways. In the in-camera bracketing, so choosing auto exposure bracketing for typically three shots. Some cameras do 5, 7 or more, but essentially you want two shots, one for foreground, one for sky, depending on the scene you may need to go with, and then one stop of exposure difference between the bracketed shots. I use live view to expose for the mid-tone and the scene, something not too bright or not too dark. This will be my camera's zero EV value. Shots and shots either side of this will be -1, -2, and +1, +2, etc., depending on the settings. Exposure shot for the foreground, then a shot for the sky, gives you more control, but by changing settings you risk slightly moving the camera, so on blending the images you will have to make sure your images are aligned. I'd rarely use HDR software, as the results in my opinion are not natural. I find the best way to blend your final exposures is a couple of ways, simply using a layer mask or a luminosity mask. Both require some time and a level of Photoshop knowledge, but given the results in my opinion, I've included a link to a good tutorial on how to do it. And you think, oh, where's the link? Well, it's okay. If you go to the entry for this show on britishtechnetwork.com, click on the show. In the script there that describes what's in the show, there is a link to some show notes. The only show on the network that has show notes. And you'll know all the stories that we did, and you'll see all the pictures that we did, and you'll get all the links that we wrote down. There you go. So I hope that answers your question, Callum, because if not, just talk to Ian direct. I'm not going to be a messenger. I'm not taking, do you want to go out with him or something? Yeah. Question 2 is from Mike. He says, it's coming up to cricket season, and this is the first year that I've not played in a very long time. Bad luck, mate. I gave up years ago. Best thing I ever did, my knees are, anyway. Sadly, the old bones aren't what they used to be, but I'm determined to still be around my local cricket club and want to take more pictures of the team. What would you suggest is A, the best lens to buy for my Canon 80D, B, what settings should I consider? I'm glad to say I'm well beyond using auto and sports, but I'd like some better ideas for varying the shots. And C, is this one of those RAW versus JPEG moments that you love so much, Ewan? Shoot RAW, because you're out there and you want to get the best shots, and you're gonna snap away and take a couple of hundred shots maybe during a game, but that's only going to boil down into about 30 or 40 images maybe at the end of that at best. So don't be afraid of RAW. Don't batch process your RAWs, because otherwise you might as well just shot in JPEG. Rubbish. Best lens to buy. So I've got two lenses that I would have kept and used for sport if I ever shot any, which I don't anymore. I got a 70-200 2.8, and that's really, really good, especially if you're getting someone who's running towards you on the boundary and you want to get them picking the ball up, turning around and throwing it back with the batsman in the background. The 2.8 works really, really well, would knock the background out quite softly, so it's not massively different. You'll still see that they're cricketers in there. And that works really good. If you're shooting them out on the wicket, though, then 2.8 or 4 isn't going to make any difference. So save your money. Don't get a 2.8 lens if you want to do for distance. And have a lens that's sat permanently on a tripod. And then you can twist your camera on and off between the sports lens and the set lens at, say, 400, something like that. And you can get 400 for under £1,000. Get an F5 Canon from Wex for under £1,000 for that. Really, really good lens. I've got a 400 here, F5, and it's really, really cracking and sharp. And I used to use it for rugby, and that was, always winter, so it was glum days and that kind of stuff. I went up to 800 ISO. I still got good results. I still got decent speeds so that I'm not blurring too much. So that'll do you fine in the summer, no question at all. What settings to have? If you're feeling brave, go for manual and have a mess at that. Use your live view to see what exposures you're getting roughly, and then you can always correct afterwards. Think about anything under 125, you're probably going to get some blur on it, 125th of a second. 250th of a second and above, you're probably going to then start getting more static shots. And over 500th of a second, you're definitely going to get everything standing still. So think about maybe shooting on a shutter priority if you want to introduce blur or remove blur. But failing that, stick on aperture priority, or just go to full manual, because then you can keep your lowest aperture priority setting there, and you can have a good mess around with the shutter speeds. Your choice entirely, mate. I hope that's helped. If you've got any further questions, send them in. Last question. I've put links, by the way, to all those lenses that I've just mentioned. Tamron do one, which is, you know, you're going to save an awful lot of money. If you're going to get the 2.8 70 to 210 to 200 Canon, then you're talking about 1300 to 1500 quid, depending on which version you buy. Maybe a bit more. Tamron do one of those, and it's under £1,000. So you'll save yourself a good few quid, and it'll probably be good enough. Yeah, you won't notice a real difference. Hi Ewan, this is from Steve. Hi Ewan, my daughter's just decided to do media and photography and her options at secondary school. Of course, that's this week, I need to remind Ellis. We've got some basic camera equipment and Santa may bring a little more. 13 and still believes in Santa, wow. But she could do, sorry, she doesn't hear that, just in case she does. But she could do with a bag right now. Do you have suggestions for a kit bag that is pretty good but won't break the bank? And it was interesting because I started to answer this one and thought about it and was trolling through Amazon, which was never good when I'm looking for camera bags because I do have a problem with them. And I'm sure you've written this in deliberately just because of that fact. But Jake was with me and Jake said, oh, you want the Amazon Basics? He said, I've got that. It's brilliant. Perfect. Just exactly what she'd need. And I clicked on it. And actually, it's not bad. It doesn't show you any pictures of the inside, but Jake's described it to me. And it's everything you'd expect. It's got the ability to fold the top two guides out so that you can do a T-piece, you know, with a long lens, body and lens all in the center console of it. And then there's two lenses, lens pockets there on the sides. There's room at the back for a laptop. He said it's really, really good. So there you go. Recommendation from Jake is just buy the Amazon Basics backpack for it. It will do just fine. $28.99 as well. So that's not bad at all. Sorry about me messages going off. I did switch them off before we started. Bugger. How do you enter the Fantasy Photo League? Dead simple. Send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Get out there, get shooting. Construct is this month's topic. I've got to run because in 10 minutes I'm doing the Mac show because I've left it a bit late to do the photo show. But we'll be back next week and we'll do it because this was some of last week's news. You don't worry about that anyway. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.